Coming up on TMS, Stowaway J. Frog.
Ant-Man is in Quantumania.
Check the Nuts and the Anus.
No One Falls Like Gaston.
Red on Air Crabs.
I don't like to pee during Ant-Man.
Utah Man goes on a rampage after reading pun-filled frog articles.
The Dunaway Redemption.
Buy the donut for the sprinkles.
The fall didn't kill him. The vat of acid did.
Checking Disney Replay.
He Who Mick Remains.
Peter Pan 2, Crocodile Boogaloo.
Old Dryfoot Johnson.
Trader Joe's Seaweed Cleanse.
Crop Dusting the Sports Department.
Jonathan Major's Spoilers with Stephen and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Tacos. Traditional Mexican food at its tastiest. Simmered ground beef, crisp lettuce, juicy tomatoes, chopped onions, and grated cheese. Surrounded by a fresh, crispy taco shell. They are delicious.
We ain't had nothing but maggoty bread for 3 stinking days.
The Morning Stream. Oh, yeah, that's quite a story.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It's Monday, February 20th, and this is The Morning Stream. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hi.
Hello.
Hello, Brian. You smell like dog. We'll talk about that in a minute. But you smell
Let's
like
eat
dog.
Those hobbitses.
Yeah, they want to eat those. Yeah.
It's like you're watching Lord of the Rings as well?
Yeah, I've had it on in the background. I've seen it like 1,000 times, so it's not like I need to like make a big deal out of it, but just kind of let it go, you know, let it run.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, a little line will pop out, and I go, oh, well, let's capture that. Put it on the show.
Nice.
Actually, let's get right to it. You went to a dog show. And
I did.
Very curious about this. How'd that go?
Yeah, this was a mystery date. Tina surprised me with a trip to the Colorado Kennel Club dog show at the, what do they call those places? It's an amphitheater that they use specifically every year for the rodeo, for when the rodeo comes to Colorado, the stock show.
Is it an outdoor thing or indoor?
Indoor thing. When it's stock show time... Actually, no, it's... Well, no, in a stock show time, it's a mix of indoor and outdoor because they've got all the food trucks and some of the cattle out there. But, yeah, it's a big... You know, if you're a Colorado person, you know these two buildings that sit on either side of I-70 like Acilla and Charybdis and hold the stock show every January. Because if you want to get between the buildings, you have to walk under the interstate. The understate.
Sure. The understate, sure. It's an understated interstate, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, so she surprised me with a trip to the dog show, and first thing we get in there, and we go to the first little arena, and it's the agility course, which is so much fun to watch, right? Because you've got these dogs who like, all right, through this tunnel, and then over this jump, and then around this ramp, and then, you know, on this table where they have to stay for 5 seconds and not move, and then through this other tunnel and up a teeter-totter and down the other side and stuff like that. It's
is that the one where the owner has to run with them the whole time?
Yes. Okay. Yes. All right. And that, just that is kind of one of the funnier parts, is because the sometimes those runners, those dog owners, are not in shape and they can't keep up with the dog, and so the dog gets to the end of, like, there's this, one of the first things they do is this ramp up and then a long horizontal beam and then a ramp down. And that's kind of the longest stretch that the trainer has to run along with them. And if the dog gets done like all the way through the whole thing and then just kind of looks back at the owner and says, come on, you can do this. It's valuable seconds of time that are lost by that.
Do you have any money on any of the winners or anything like that? Does that work that way at the dog show?
No, unfortunately you don't. But you get a lot of dogs and stuff who get in there, and it looks like it's their first time seeing the agility course.
Oh, shit.
The owners are sitting there like, nope, come on, you through the hoop, come on, you gotta go through this hoop, all right, come over here, nope, you gotta go up that ramp, no, stay up, go up the ramp.
Poor,
and it's
things.
Just like a constant thing. And then there are other ones that just fly through that, and you wonder, we saw a bunch of different sized dogs, like every grouping they had to adjust, raise the hoop a little bit and raise the bars for the jump and raise the table legs, but they never ever adjusted those big tunnels, those big look like slinky springs with canvas spread across them, those tunnels they have to run through.
Oh, right.
And you think, man, that sure seems like it gives a nice advantage to the small dogs and a big disadvantage to the big dogs who are like probably grazing the top of their head over every rung in the spring.
Is there one that just blew your mind, like, oh, that's the most beautiful dog I've ever seen in my freaking life kind of thing?
No, no, really. Although, I mean, there were some gorgeous. I took a picture of some Dalmatians. We sat and watched the judging for a little while. So first the agility course, then we moved on, watched some of the judging. And the judging is very much like you see with the Westminster Kennel Club and the AKC. And of course, the movie Best in Show was playing in our heads the entire time that we're watching this.
Yeah.
And, you know, they do all that stuff. They lift the tail and check the nuts and the anus and that sort of thing. And having them run across. And again, it's another situation where the owner has to run at the same speed as the dog. And so a lot of them do this weird kind of duck walk run kind of thing as they're taking the dog, because it's like you don't want to break into an all-out run with a little dog, but you also don't want the little dog to run ahead of you, so you have to do this kind of duck walk short little run thing where you're kind of squatting and running at the same time.
Wow, that's crazy. I would like to see a dog show. I think it'd be fun.
Sounds yeah like a good it's time. Really cool.
Yeah.
The best part was easily the long jump where you've got the big long pool of water and they run and take a jump at the very end. And so I did get to, I think the best and only use of your slow-mo camera on your phone is taking video of your dog, of dogs doing stuff like catching treats in midair and doing that long jump, that sort of thing. It's so good.
It's pretty great to watch. Let me see if I can pull this up for the chat. They can see, there it is, slow motion. Yeah.
Are you pulling in one of mine?
The one you sent me. So they always land in the water. It's just an issue of how far in they get.
Exactly. Yeah, and they've got little markers on the side to measure how far they jump and that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I would have had a good time at that. You know, it's great because Denver, you know, they had their little dog show, and it feels like that's not too hard on traffic. We had the NBA Pro freaking bullshit.
Oh, fun.
The entire city was a nightmare all day yesterday. Well, part of Saturday, too, because they were doing like the slam dunk contest and all that. But the big game was yesterday. And, you know, it's like the Pro Bowl. No one's going to hurt themselves. They're all being real careful.
Right. And it's more about like little shot contests, three-pointers, things like that.
Yeah. And they have a full game, but nobody's doing anything hardcore. They're just sort of, easy layups. Nobody's trying to foul anybody. That's all fine and everything, but it just, so many people in town, so much new traffic. It was just bonanza, wacko everywhere.
Yeah, when stock show is in town, not so much with the dog show. Yeah. Tina and I theorized that about 5% of the people there at the dog show were people like us who didn't bring a dog, but the other 95% were just people who brought a dog, who were, you know, having it judged or having it compete, and were sitting there watching other dogs at the same time. So we were definitely a little minority. But when the stock show's in town, same thing here. The traffic around that part of town is something you just don't want to get involved with. No. And all of the Tex-Mex restaurants in a 15 to 20 mile radius.
Yeah.
Like when Casa Bonita was open and will be open again soon, that was a place that if you came to the stock show, if you were planning on going to Casa Bonita anytime during the stock show, pack another lunch to eat while you wait in line at Casa Bonita to get in.
Yeah, I'll bet. Yeah, that's kind of how it was for us. We ended up going to this place called, so Saturday night, went out with some friends. We decided to go early because, again, trying to beat some of this traffic. It didn't matter. It was still crazy. And it wasn't even downtown. We were like in Taylorsville. We were still pretty far. But we went to this place called Mr. and Mrs. Krabs. I don't know if they're getting sued by Nickelodeon or not. Maybe they should be. I don't know. But Mr. and Mrs. Krabs, and it just opened in November. We've been wanting to go there. And it's basically Southern style, like your table's covered in a big thing of paper. Boil. And they dump
Boil.
Yeah, big crab boil. So you go in there, and they usually, you know, they have a couple of recommended like ways you can go, but you can also kind of build out your own thing. So you want this many pounds of king crab or this much snow crab, or you want, you know, this much shrimp and here's the corn on the cob. Do you want the garlic kind of buttery thing, or do you want to go more Cajun? Like, you have all these options. And it was really, really freaking good.
Yeah.
So I know people are sitting there going, like fresh seafood in Salt Lake City, give me a break. You guys are landlocked. I know, but these guys ship it in fresh. It's a little expensive. But if you split it, you go with four of you. You got two couples, mm-hmm. me, Kim, Darren, and Ruth Ann. We all went together, and you split that right down the middle. Not bad. It's $119.
Not bad at all.
Split that.
Everybody was full. Nobody left there hungry.
No.
Nobody left unsatisfied. No. And you balance it out with the potatoes and the sausage and stuff like that.
Yeah. That's all in there. They include all that stuff. So it's like you get a little sausage. You get a little. They had hush puppies. They had
Little corn on the cob lips.
Yeah, and those were good.
Like a corn on the cob cut into quarters and sold individually.
Yeah, those were fantastic.
or included free individually.
They were maybe 4 inches, I guess. They were cut in half, I guess. That's probably about the size they were.
Okay. Yeah.
But none of them had the ends on them, which is good. I don't want the ends. I want the middle beefy freaking corn cob is what I want.
Maybe the best part of the cob. Sure.
Yeah. It was fantastic, though. So big marks, high marks for Mr. and Mrs. Krabs. All right?
Nice.
Go check it out.
So we'll talk more with Steven about this, but we went to Ant-Man and Wasp, Quantumania. Saturday morning with the Denver Tadpole group. By the way, it wasn't until the end credits, not a spoiler, don't worry, don't anybody cover their ears. It wasn't until the end credits that I realized that Quantumania, if you hide some of the letters, you get Ant-Man.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You hide the Q-U at the beginning, A-N-T, then hide the next U, then you get M-A-N, and it's like, just like, right? Just like
that.
It's
that's awesome. I love crap like that. That's great. Yeah. Very cool.
Yep. So we saw the movie. We all loved it. All enjoyed it. Again, we'll talk more about that with Steven. But afterwards, like about 20 minutes in, I'm like, I have to pee, but there's no way I'm leaving a Marvel movie to pee. And it wasn't like a cross my legs kind of like, oh my God, I've got to get going now. It's like I can kind of feel it coming on, but I can kind of get by and make it. So sat there the whole extra 2.5 hours and made it all the way through.
Nice.
And
that's a long time, by the way, especially if you had anything to drink right before. You got to pee.
It is, exactly. Yeah. Yes. So, I had to hold it that whole time. So get out. And I'm like, we're kind of hanging out with all the other Denver Tadpoolers. I'm like, guys, I'll be right back. I've got to go to the bathroom. So I go and I bypass one of the bathrooms to the second bathroom, which I know is going to be less full. And I'm standing there at the urinal. Doing what people do, what men do at the urinal.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, my ass gets slapped.
Oh.
Like, while I'm peeing.
All right, Tina in there?
And not just once.
Wow.
Not just once, but like, bam, bam, bam.
The heck, man?
Who was it? And then I hear, Jordan, no, don't do it. Jordan, and that's Burgess Diesel in our chat room. That was his son. His five-year-old son whacking me on the butt while I was peeing.
That's great. That's great.
Six. Oh, my gosh. He's older than I thought. Six-year-old coming up and whacking my butt while I'm trying to pee. And we're both laughing really hard. And so it's really hard to like say, Jordan, stop doing it when you're kind of laughing.
Yeah.
So, of course, he's getting rewarded for that.
Yeah, sure. No, dude, 6-year-olds, they don't care. They're ready to rock.
Oh, they don't care. No. Jordan is such a crack up though. His mop top of curly hair, and he's just always excited. I'm sure he enjoyed the film as well.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad you didn't turn around and pee on everybody. That's the important thing.
I did not. No, and that's the thing. It's like if I ever feel somebody reaching in and pulling out my wallet, which I don't keep in my back pocket. Not just for that reason, but then I know that's the best thing you can do is spin around and pee on the person who's trying to take your wallet.
It's your
built-in defense.
It's the best human life.
Also, I've got a little tip for you. If you are in if you're lucky enough to be in a town that's got a Trader Joe's, here's a little tip. If you like scrambled eggs and if you don't think cilantro tastes like soap or tinfoil, get a little tub of the Trader Joe's chimichurri sauce. And mix that into your scrambled eggs before you cook them. Like scramble your eggs, add that stuff to it, whip it in together, then pour that in the skillet. Holy crap, best scrambled eggs you'll ever have.
That sounds amazing. We just got a new Trader Joe's 10 minutes away. So
cool.
We've had them already, but they're always downtown. They're a pain in the ass to go down there. So I will do this. This sounds fantastic.
It's a little tub in the refrigerated section by the other dips and hummus and guacamole and stuff like that. You'll find it there. And it's so good.
My wife always surprises me. She says the best lotion, like moisturizing face lotion she's ever had in her life, she gets at Trader Joe's.
At Trader Joe's, really?
She loves it. It's like half the cost or less than any of the stuff that's supposed to be better.
Yeah.
And it just works great. I don't know the name of it. It's in a white bottle. Other people may know what it is, but it's awesome. I've used it on my foot before when I had like a really weird dry foot thing. Great. Freaking amazing. It's good stuff. Yeah. Trader Joe's, they know their lotion.
I'll try it. I've done their little foods and snacks and stuff like that, but I've never even thought about trying their lotion.
Yeah. Huh. All their stuff's good. I love Trader Joe's. I wish every store was a Trader Joe's, honestly.
Here's another great snack right here. These guys, if I can pull one out. These guys are 30 calories for the entire container. Organic roasted teriyaki seaweed.
It's like we get those. I love those. Yeah. They're so good. Mm.
They've got the sea salt. They've got the teriyaki. And, you just basically mow down on one of these and 30 freaking calories. That's it.
Yep. Just don't eat three bags because not because of the calories, but man, that'll give you the pretty bad.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. It's very fibrous.
They're even in little portions for you, Scott, and you still down three entire bags. Oh, yeah.
We had them in a whole, you can buy them in bulk, like a whole row of them or whatever. And we got a whole thing of them and I loved them so much. The sea salt ones, I ate three bags. And three bags later, whoo, boy.
Oh, I'm sure.
It was not good. All right. But I can tell you what is good. Dunaway's good. He's good.
Yeah.
We're going to... Oh, shit. Hold on one second. I'm such an idiot. I called him directly instead of adding him to the call. Hold on. Here we go.
And you get to see me shaking my head in the Zoom's like, oh.
Yeah, I can always tell him Brian can't hear me anymore. All right, here we go. Found it. All right. We're going to bring Dunaway in. We're going to have some fun. Sit back, relax, enjoy. Brian Dunaway joins the fray as well. We got two fray joiners today. February 20th is a great day because that means Brian Dunaway is here. Why? Because it's a Tuesday. Okay? Monday. It's a Monday. You know what I was thinking of? I was thinking of our show tomorrow. I'm an idiot. I was thinking about Play Retro. Anyway, no, it's Monday, and it comes on Mondays and Wednesdays, and we play a little game today. It's Half Asses, and Brian Ibbett here will explain the rules to Brian Dunaway. Well, first of all, Dunaway. Sorry, we didn't give you much of a hello.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
Hi, how are you?
What's your favorite Trader Joe's snack? Do you have Trader Joe's, or is it just a West Coast
snack? We do have a Trader We have a Trader Joe's, and I love Trader Joe's. It's about an hour away, though, but whenever I go... to that town, I do always get some from Trader Joe's. I'm trying to think what my favorite thing is.
Yeah,
they got
a lot.
They used to have some pretty good hummus that I used to like, but I can't remember anything specific. But I always get something when I go.
Yeah, you should.
It's right next to like one of those sporting good places. So we always go there.
Big Five or Dick's or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. We go there first, and then we go get Trader Joe's because we're definitely going to fart. There's always something...
Hey, you're gonna fart. Just don't eat all. Yeah,
You don't want to fart in the sporting goods stores. Like you time it so that
for some reason. Yeah. For some reason, I always get some kind of bean product.
Really? Like I used to get what's the bean? Remember bean dip? Bean dip's a thing still.
Yeah, bean dip is still a thing.
Basically, like a kind of refried, smoothed out bean dip for chips and stuff. And I get that a lot when I'm in the mood. I like those. Mm-hmm. So that may be your problem, dude. No more bean dip. Don't do it.
Adhesive bean Wombat dip. Just mentioned the peanut butter cups. The peanut butter cups and the cashew butter cups. They look like little Reese's, but they're Reese's. Mm. Sorry. Forgot who was on the
We can't have that.
But they're cashew butter instead of peanut butter, and they're also freaking good.
Yeah, they're really good. They also have good jerky. They have good everything. It's all really good.
Everything.
Reesey Peasy.
All right. Now Brian should explain the rules.
Now I'll explain. Welcome to the morning. Half Asses, a trivia game. We're actually going to be giving Scott and Brian the answers. I'm going to give them a category and six possible answers. Three of those answers are correct. Three of them are just wrong. Just, I can't put my finger on exactly what it is about, but they're just wrong. depending on how confident you feel with each category. You can provide 1, 2, or 3 guesses, but if you get any of those guesses wrong, you get 0 points for that round. Guess one and get it right, you get a point. Guess two and get them right, gets you 3 points. And guess all three correctly, you get 5 freaking points. The player with the most points after 3 rounds wins the prize for their contestant. I've pulled some contestants from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to listen live. So, Scott, you're playing for Shane from Hawaii, actually originally from Florida, but he's in the Marine Corps.
Oh, nice. Okay. Shane, I'm your man. Let's do it.
That's right. And Brian, you're going to be playing for John in Margaretville, New York. Not Margaritaville, but Margaretville.
No. Still. No,
that's too bad.
Yay, John.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to it. And I'll tell you the prizes after we play. Let's start with question number one. This one might, this one you might have a little bit of an advantage, Brian. We'll see. States smaller in area than Maine. So which of these 6 states has contains less area than Maine, the state of Maine? The reason I say might have an advantage, South Carolina is one of the states. Is it smaller or larger than Maine? Ohio, New Jersey, Louisiana, Hawaii, and Kentucky. Those are your states. South Carolina, Ohio, New Jersey, Louisiana, Hawaii, and Kentucky.
So square miles
are smaller.
Are we talking square miles? Is that the measurement? Are we talking, I guess it doesn't matter, just whatever space it takes up.
It doesn't really matter. We could compare square feet if you like, if that's easier. We could compare.
Let's do centimeters to make our Europeans happy.
Sure, square centimeters, no problem. All right. as long as we use the same measurement in both.
Right.
So 3 of these. Let
me think. This is tricky. My dad lived in Maine, and we went up there every summer for about 3 years to see him. And daggummit, it's one of those states. Oh, I don't know. Let me think here.
I think I know 2 of them. Do I know that one though? I'm doing 2.
You doing 2? I'm doing 2 as well then.
Look at you guys are both locked in. There is one obvious one in here, Hawaii. Come on. Yeah, Hawaii is definitely way less area than Maine.
It is so much smaller than Alaska. When you look at the maps, because they're always off by themselves, and it's like, here's Alaska. Here's Hawaii.
Little Hawaii. Oh, you got to zoom in because there's little Hawaii.
Plus, remember in school, they were always talking about how you kind of orange peel the map. It's like not... you take a round thing and flatten it. It's misleading to the eye. So if you actually had them next to each other,
then you get sprung. Yeah.
You got to pull up tongue.
Check that.
Yeah. There you go. That's where I was headed.
South Carolina, by the way, Brian, is smaller than Maine. Your own home state. You didn't realize.
I couldn't tell if you were messing with me because you was like, I may have an advantage. I should know.
If you just know how big your home state is, that's an advantage. The other one that's Hawaii, South Carolina, and New Jersey. Brian. New Jersey is the other one in there that is smaller. Ohio, Kentucky, and Louisiana larger than Maine.
Everyone always talks about how Ohio is all crammed together in a tight space, and so I always think that's smaller than it is. But
it's a very pretty big, isn't it? Shaped state.
It's very and everything's really close. We went to Columbus. It was like the airport. I could see my hotel from the airport, which was in the center of town. Like, you literally just go and you're in the airport. I loved that. It was amazing. I want that here.
I love how that has shaped your entire impression of how large that state is. I can see the airport from here.
Could you see Cincinnati or Cleveland?
No, but I was told if I got in a car and drove 45 minutes that direction, I'd run into Cleveland. It was like crazy.
You definitely would. Yeah.
It's like nothing. Anyway.
All right, let's get to question number two. Number two. Let's check your Shakespearean history here. Assassins of Julius Caesar. Yes, the new Assassin's Creed game, Assassins of Julius Caesar. Which of these three people killed Julio? Was it Pompey, Antony, Crassus, Brutus, Trebonius, or Casca? Casca.
So wait a minute, there are three.
Antony. Oh yeah, it was a lot of the senators turned on Julius Caesar at the end.
Yeah, well, I know one.
I like that it's Antony too, because I'm Anthony, but this one's Antony.
Right, Antony.
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 Antony. I only know one for sure here. shit.
A whole I think I know one, but then you're gonna like, no, it's not related to that thing.
We'll see. All right. Well, let's see how you did. Again, the obvious one, the Et tu, Brute? Yeah, heck, Brutus, of course, right, was the, I think was the kind that of leader easy. Of that group of senators that turned on Julius Caesar there at the end.
Yeah.
The other two were Trebonius and Casca, meaning Brian got that one.
Damn
right.
It.
Crassus, Antony, and Pompey. None of those were.
You are wrecking me today, dude. Wrecking me.
Oh, look, it was worrying me because I was trying to rack my brain. Was it Casca or Crassus? And I was like, oh.
I guess you just don't like people serving in the armed forces. You just want them to lose. I get it. No, it's fine.
Wow.
What about John from...
John out there with his nuclear subs. And his,
he might do important things in New York. Like he might
be huge. I don't know.
He might work in an animal shelter and help animals. I mean, you want to deny him the games?
No, he's going to get them. It looks like he's going to get them no matter what. But
technically, he's getting them no matter what. There's no way for. His score is 6-0, but make a go of this one, Scott. Right. You got nothing to lose.
All right.
You've already lost, so you've really got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
All right.
You have nothing
to
win.
let's test your cartoon villain knowledge here.
All right.
This one, you guys can, this will be a lot of fun for you. Disney villains who fall to their death. Which of these Disney villains died by falling to their death? Was it Captain Hook, Ursula, Judge Frollo, Maleficent, Scar, and Gaston?
Damn it. You didn't include the Tarzan guy.
One of those makes me laugh, though.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about why afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah. I think, one of them makes me laugh, too, but I don't know if that's the same.
I mean, there's some of these fall, but their death isn't from the fall. It's from something they fell into. Does that count?
I would take that,
If the fall kills them, it can't be another thing like... falling into a vat of acid. Well, it wasn't the fall that killed him.
Okay, so the fall had to kill them. That's the point here.
The fall had to kill them. Yes, exactly.
All right. Oh, shit. I think he fell.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, daggummit. I did get that other one.
I'm going to lock in with 3, and I'm going to hope I'm right. I don't know.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. I forgot Judge Frollo. I forgot who that was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Hunchback in Notre Dame. And indeed, he does fall to his death. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Scott got that one. Scott also got Gaston. You both got Gaston. No one falls like Gaston.
Yeah. No one falls like that guy. Oh, he sucks. That guy. What a butthole.
The other one, as Brian got, was Maleficent. Yes. Well done. Oh,
what did Scar do?
Captain Scar gets killed by hyenas.
Eaten. Yeah, he got eaten.
Oh,
Ursula
shit, that's
died
right.
in the fall
that's
under
right.
her ocean.
No, Cheech Marin and Whoopi.
Know, Ursula, that is a great one. Oh, I'm falling. Oh, I can swim. I'm fine. I'm good.
So hold on. Cheech Marin and freaking, what's her name?
Whoopi Goldberg.
Goldberg got hungry at the end. Okay. Gosh, dang it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, my one chance to put points on the board. Dude, you aced it today. What the frick?
Yeah, you're good. Kidding. I failed last week.
According to the card, Maleficent died from a fall.
Okay.
But people are saying, well, she was stabbed too, and she's actually alive now, and she got stabbed, but she could have survived that.
Technically.
Merely a flesh wound.
But Captain Hook didn't die either, really, right?
Well,
he got eaten by the alligator, didn't he?
Yeah, the big croc.
Didn't he come back?
Oh, did he? I don't know. Did he come out?
Peter Pan 2, this time it's personal or something?
That's right. That's right.
I mean, I think the rule here should be at the end of their movie in question, they fall to their death? If somebody wants to retcon them later, that's their problem.
Yeah.
But you're saying at the end of these movies, who died? And I think that's fair. I think these are correct.
She was stabbed. Yeah. I'm not arguing that she was stabbed, but I think the fall is what eventually did her in.
Yeah. She probably had another.
That's what we're like. When she got stabbed, we were like, oh no, she got stabbed. And then when she fell, like, oh, she's dead.
Yeah.
She's dead.
The only other one is, although he fell, it was a hanging, but the dude in Tarzan fell and then a vine hung him.
Mm.
That would have been a good one for this that would have probably.
That would have been another. Yeah. Another.
Yeah,
Can't think of his name, though. He was a dick, that guy. Huge dick.
Man, Disney sometimes, man. Whew.
I know. right? Yeah. You know what? Let me tell you something. Still to this day.
Oh, here we go. Dice Tomato actually has the video here. I do want to see this because it won't change the points at all. Because Brian's the only one who picked that one. But let's see. All right. So there's Maleficent. She's turning into a dragon. She's flying towards the castle.
Yeah.
She's
she lands green fire, looking all
green
cool.
Fire. There's... Think of Batman pooping snakes. Different movie, but still that same animation that reminds me of Batman pooping snakes.
Yeah, she's getting all freaked out. I always mix her up with the sleeping or the apple one.
The evil queen and
same lady to me. I never separate them.
Ooh, all right, he's running at her. He's got the sword.
Looks like dragon's
he's running
lair.
At her. All right, he's running. She's standing at the end of a cliff. Little bad breath action there. Yeah. Some goo.
Acid breath.
Some fire goo. Green fire goo.
The horse is the chick in the bucket. Just disappeared and went nowhere. Nowhere the horse went.
He's like, I'm out of here.
He's hiding in the woods. Okay.
I think you need to skip ahead a few frames. There we go.
Okay, they're
fighting. The edge of the cliff. Oh, my God. Clayton's going to fall. What's going to happen?
Oh, there's some burning.
Oh, he dropped his shield. Bye-bye, shield. And... now his sword's magical.
Hold on.
He throws the sword, stabs Maleficent.
Yep, she's now stabbed and bleeding. She's falling.
She's she takes a bite at him. She's like, I'm not dead yet.
I'm still alive, but if I fall far enough, I will have death.
You know what? If that would have been a deciding point, I would have given both players the prize, because that clearly was a stabbing death that just happens to be right before a fall.
I think she was not dead until she hit the ground, and it may have ultimately been the sword, but I think you could have gone either way. I think that's fair. Yeah. All right. Well,
she
good
had
job,
two
everybody.
Deaths.
Not that it matters, because Dunaway destroyed me today. Destroyed.
Like
me.
I said, I was due one. I lost a couple of in a row. Whew. Pretty badly.
Yeah.
I got rocked, man.
Good redemption. All right. So John from Margaretville, you're getting a copy of RoboQuest and Pumpkin Jack, courtesy of our friend Tim Moore.
Those are both really good games. Yeah. In particular, RoboQuest is like this first-person shooter roguelike thing that had me hooked for months. It's fantastic. So good. Oh, my gosh. I didn't know these were the prizes. That's awesome. Good job.
What if she had the sword in her, but it was like landing on the sword that killed her? Like, it's just barely into my chest, but oh no, I'm falling. Oh, landed on the sword, pushed her further in.
Well, actually, according to the video, it was thrust in her, and then she fell, and then when he looked down, her little misty purple goo at the bottom, now the sword is stabbed in it and through the ground the opposite direction.
Oh, yeah.
So it makes me think they rolled over. Because how is she going to do that?
Because then that's how the sword would have to be facing up.
Oh, yeah, she'd have to land on her back. And maybe that force went shunk and it went all the way through her stupid dragon heart.
Because the sword wasn't all the way through her before she landed. Mm-hmm. Like when she was still. Yeah.
That's right. All right.
Wow. Look at us. Look at us doing a little CSI Dexter thing going on. We need a little string, red string to show the path of the bullets.
Yeah.
But don't worry, Shane from Hawaii, you are also getting a copy. Don't worry. You are not going away sad or empty handed. Mass Effect Legendary Edition.
Oh, also very good. Played through that last year. Fantastic. Game.
Yeah, so you are getting you're both getting some good freaking games.
Yep, I would argue this is one of our biggest win piles. This is fantastic. You guys are going to really enjoy it.
You're darn good.
By the way, RoboQuest is amazing on the Steam Deck, so is Pumpkin Jack. Ooh. Pumpkin Jack, you may think, is just like a Halloween game and you should never play it except then. And I can see why, because it's a platformer with a guy with a jack-o'-lantern head and everything in it is kind of Halloween themed, but you can play it any time of the year. It's real good. Fantastic little game. Yep.
Anytime.
Good job, like you guys.
Rolls. You can have pizza anytime.
Indeed. Brian will send you those codes because he has your info. And Dunaway and I will be doing a Play Retro show tomorrow that will deal with all things Defender.
Defender.
That's
42 years now since it released at the arcade.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. How has it been 42 years?
Yeah. Eugene Jarvis, a interesting fellow that kind of reminds me of Scott Fletcher in the way he looks.
He just looks a lot like Fletcher, yeah. I'll give you that. He's also one of the weirdest ever. He did that weird llama. It was like Tetris, or it was like Tempest, but it had a llama in it.
Oh, really?
Right.
Yeah.
You know this guy. In fact, Tempest 2000, he did as well when the Jaguar did that.
Oh, yeah.
Their only great game was Tempest 2000, and that was Eugene Jarvis. Guys, I'm thinking of Jeff Minter. Never mind.
I'm going to say, I don't think so. He did Smash TV and Robotron 2084.
I mixed him up.
Defender.
I mixed up my classic game designers once again. But yes, Defender is what we're talking about tomorrow. And it's going to be great because you got to fly down and pick up the little dudes. Yeah. You got to fly up and shoot all kinds of stuff. You got to use 19 buttons to do it.
God, that was the worst part of that thing is that all the buttons. So quick question, and feel free to say, oh, we'll answer that on Play Retro tomorrow. What's a better game, Stargate or Defender?
Did they improve it for the sequel?
It certainly added some elements. Stargate, instead of hyperspacing like through a button out of the five buttons in Defender,
you actually had
Stargate squares all over. You'd have to hit the Stargate and hit it that way. I think that was a step up. I think that made it more organized.
I think it's a fun argument between the two, whether one's better or the other, until Sinistar comes in and destroys them both. How about that?
yeah.
Oh, I am Sinistar, and he just eats the other two games for lunch. I love that guy, dude.
It's a bummer that New Wave Toys hasn't made a Defender yet, because I would totally grab that one.
My one-up in the other room is Defender.
Yeah, you have a Defender machine, right? An arcade one-up?
Yeah, it's a combo. Machine? So it's got Defender, Gauntlet, Joust, and I don't remember.
Is that the full-size one, or is that Rampage, the party-cade one?
No, it's the little shorty one. It's one of their shorties.
I'm so jealous of you.
Well, I think you can still get it. I think. I don't know.
Not that one.
It was like $250, $299.
Yeah, you can get them all. Find them at Kohl's.
Not the...
$199.
We talk about, okay, so do you have the 40th anniversary? might not be talking about the same one.
Well, the machine that I have. Defender. So let me tell you what this is. I have the machine that has all four of those games in it, and it's mostly branded as what's the monkey one? Rampage. So it's mostly got Rampage marketing all over it. On the front banner thing and on the sides, it's all Rampage all day. I got it for Joust, but it includes Joust, Gauntlet, and Defender. And they barely even mention Defender anywhere on it, although it does have the buttons you need for Defender.
Okay, that's not the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, you're thinking of something else.
Right.
Must be.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the one that has like the one-to-one button layout that you would see on Defender. It was a 40th anniversary one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this one's a little bit different than that.
Yeah.
I have to admit, the least thing I've played on there is Defender, because even with a different button layout, it's just a lot of buttons, dude. It's just too much.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And
of
I'm
buttons.
More of a Joust guy, and I don't know, Rampage is fun for about 5 minutes.
Yeah. Not like, a lot of replayability, I wouldn't think, with Rampage.
So
But you get to eat the people out of the building. That's my favorite part.
But it's like I bought a donut for the sprinkles, you know?
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Exactly, because the sprinkles are like all over the cabinet. Like the sprinkles are how that thing is decorated.
Yeah. I was really craving some chicken wings, so I bought an entire chicken and just ate the two wings and threw the rest away. That's what I did.
Yeah.
Anyway, Brian,
I like
it's always fun.
Analogy.
Yes, it's a good analogy. Tomorrow we'll be exploring that analogy and more, and it'll be at 3:30 Mountain Time if you want to watch us live here at frogpants.tv, or you can just check out the podcast wherever you get them. Brian Dunaway, have a fantastic rest of your day.
No, you.
I wanted him to get it in, you know.
Yeah,
I don't want to stop him.
That was one of your best analogies in the past few weeks.
Oh gosh,
sprinkles and donut.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Not that your other ones are bad, but I mean that nailed it. Totally nailed it.
It wasn't so stupid and obscure that it made your mind go somewhere else. Good, well, I'm finally getting there.
It's almost like when you buy a dog for your grandma and the dog licks the grandma's feet. It's almost like that.
I'll cop to that. I admit it. All right. Here is some. Oh, we have time for news.
And dance by the light of the moon.
Time for the news brought to you by
the Horror in Darkfall module, made for Roll20 version, created by a fellow tadpooler named Tintin. Get it today by searching Horror in Darkfall at dmsguild.com. That's dmsguild.com.
Nice. Yeah. It's a pretty common source for DMs to use, so they probably already know this, but the link is hideous, so just go search for it. The Horror in Darkfall. It's very cool.
Horror in Darkfall.
I always like hearing when our people are doing cool stuff. And by the way, I should mention this. If you join our Patreon, or sorry, our Discord, which you can do easily. I've made a link for it.
At Frog... Why not both?
We'll do both. But go to frogpants.com/discord and sign up, because there's a group in there or a room in there that's called, let me pull it up, Promote Yourself. And people in there are always putting like a live Twitch stream or projects they're doing or a book they just released or whatever. You put stuff in there, things jump out. And I'm like, well, let's put them in the show. That's why this is here today. So if you want to be, you know, want your thing pimped, for lack of a better term, go put it in there. All right, Brian, let's get to this first story. The Pirates of the Caribbean in the news. Oh, boy.
Those darn pirates.
Pretty sure I got this from you.
Did you give this? You absolutely did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a story from Brian, I think.
So damn funny.
Pirates of Caribbean riders rescued from sinking boat by Disneyland Fire Department. They literally had to walk the plank to escape a sinking pirate Pirates of the Caribbean boat that left them stranded for an hour before Disneyland Fire Department came to the rescue.
For an hour.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot, isn't it?
That is a long time for a ride that you can walk through in shallow water in about 8 minutes.
I feel like I would have gone. I might have been tempted to just go jump in and swim.
Well, you know? And it's shallow enough to stand in for, I think, 95% of the ride. The part that they were in, basically, their boat stopped. I did a little research on this. Their boat stopped right after the load in.
Yeah.
And before you go through the Blue Bayou restaurant. So it's like in that little stretch, the really short stretch, and apparently bottomed out, but there's not a really easy place for the Disneyland Fire Department, the DFD, as we call them,
The DFD.
To get to them.
Sure, that makes sense. I don't know. I feel like I would have gotten out and sloshed my way home.
I would have too. Probably some unsafe thing about like, no, if you get out, your foot will get stuck in the chain that pulls the boats along, and you'll get pulled under, or some horrible, horrible thing there too.
Yeah, who knows? I was going to say this is totally unrelated, but that Bayou restaurant has really good. They have good pickled onions.
The best Monte Cristo you'll find.
Yeah, that's also very good. But I had some kind of turkey or chicken thing, and they put these pickled onions on, red onions. Mm-hmm. They were so good.
Oh, love that
place.
I can't
believe I got those at
Used to serve bread. Disneyland. You know why they don't serve bread anymore?
Why is that?
People would throw them to the people passing in the boats. They'd like, because they'd come and refill your bread basket, so they'd be like, hey, you guys want bread? And they toss little rolls out to the boats going by.
Really?
Yeah.
So that seems like a... Oh, thanks, honey. Sorry. Kim came with her
speaking
own thing.
Speaking of food getting thrown at you.
But they... what was I going to say now? Oh, I guess that makes sense. But the boats are... That's not... That's kind of a proximity problem. That's a Disneyland problem, if you ask me. Like,
right.
Put up a wall or do something. I guess it's a nice view, though. I get it.
It's a nice view, and it makes Blue Bayou a restaurant with the best ambiance in that part of Disneyland. I'd argue now that Oga's Cantina in Black Spire Outpost has a much better ambiance because you're in a Star Wars Cantina, but you're also not getting a full meal in Oga's Cantina. You're getting snacks, bar snacks, and drinks.
Do they have anything in that end of the park, in the Star Wars end of it, that has like a full restaurant? Or is that just...
Yes. Okay. Docking Bay 5 or something. I can't remember the full name. But that place has like tri-tip beef and noodles. I think they call it tauntaun meat or something like that. It's like... they've got a ramen there now that's fantastic. Is it? It must be Docking Bay 93. No, because it's not the name of the one from the movie. Docking Bay 7. Thank you, Cyborg Dude. Docking Bay 7.
They should call it this. We're here.
I would suggest then that old popular holiday favorite, the Bantha Rump.
The Bantha Rump.
I'm surprised nobody sells a Bantha Rump. There's Ronto Wraps at one of the restaurants, but. No Bantha Rump. But that's if you're wanting a sit-down meal, good sit-down meal in Black Spire Outpost, Docking Bay 7 is where you go.
Sounds all right.
Yep.
Well, anyway, those people are fine now. So it's all good.
Dead men wear no... That's right. Disneyland provided them with $30 and a ride, go through the lightning lane on any ride.
Oh, ticket, wow.
Like the free, the super pass.
Made up for it.
And then $30 for new socks that you'd put on and instantly re-soak because your shoes are still soaking wet.
Yeah. You need new... Yeah. Give me a ticket to pay less or something.
Right. Give me some... I mean, they've got shoes somewhere in that park. Give me some new shoes.
That's crazy. Yeah. It'd be great if an animatronic Johnny Depp uprooted itself and attacked the people.
Just went crazy.
Yeah. That's in there now, right? He's standing
there's
there.
There's like about four animatronic Johnny Depps in that ride now.
Are there any that are the guy with one eye from the movie that was also, forgot his name on the British Office, but he was basically the Dwight.
Right. The Dwight equivalent, Gareth. Yeah.
Gareth. I like that guy.
No, the only other character that you see from the movies is Barbossa.
Okay.
He's on one of the ships that's doing the cannon fire, which I think is the only part of that ride that is super deep, other than where you land on any of the drops. But
He malfunctioned once and tried to teach the king how to speak, and that was a little bit weird.
Why did you poop in my bed? Is what he said.
Moving on. This is a good one. Stowaway frog triggers an alarm during screening at Pennsylvania Airport, or at the Pennsylvania Airport. Or at one. So there's more than
Stowaway
one.
Stowaway frog was my favorite Warner Brothers character.
Oh, he was, hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. That one.
Yeah. Michigan J. Stowaway J. Frog.
Yep. Love it. The stowaway hopped out of a checked bag after it triggered an alarm during the TSA screening process at Fly HIA. I guess that's the HIA is probably...
HIA is the... Yeah.
Does that stand for?
The country code. Or not country code. Airport code. HIA.
International Airport. But what's the H? Probably this town?
Harrisburg?
Probably. Okay.
That would be my guess because...
Yeah.
That's an airport in Pennsylvania.
The little creature was totally surprised.
Oh, God.
They wrote that, not me. Okay, yeah. Chat?
And this isn't even the Huffington Post.
No. It's spread far and wide. Surprised when he spotted, or sorry, when he was spotted and asks for his frogiveness. This article makes me want to kill somebody.
Forgiveness.
Yeah. Ugh. This find by TSA officers won't easily be frog-gotten.
Golly, wow.
Yeah, they're going to keep going. Let's see if there's any more of these. It's just all so stupid.
I know, really quickly scan.
They did it again with the totally and the forgiveness.
Totally and forgiveness. Yeah, they're kind of dipping into that well twice.
They had some fun with it, I guess. But yeah, the frog jumped out, freaked everybody out, and they had to, you know, kind of lock things down before they get the frog. Don't take your frog on a flight.
That bag was packed so tightly they had to rip it open.
Rip it open. Brian, you need to go work for UPI.com.
Unfortunately, the frog croaked.
Yeah. See? It was green with envy. What else? Frogpants.com. There we go.
They said it's nothing they want to go to wart over.
That's good.
Jeez.
That's good. I had one more, but I'm not going to say it. I'm going to the next story.
All right.
McDonald's is removing a tasteless sign that is now opposite a Cornwall crematorium. I swear we talked about a crematorium situation similar to this, but it's not the same.
No, but there was something. Yeah, there was something crematorium related.
Was it? Oh, I know what it was. It was a drug rehab center that was now across the street from a grower.
That's right.
HTC,
yeah.
Or plant grower, right. Or pot grower. I can say pot for some reason. I think that's what I was thinking of. Well, this is a similar problem. Burger giant McDonald's says it will remove a quote-unquote tasteless sign opposite a crematorium in Cornwall. This is in the UK, I believe. Mm-hmm. After the unfortunate coincidental placement was pointed out by Cornwall Live, which is like some newspaper or website. Although the advertising hoarding has caused hilarity amongst motorists to spot who spot it on the busy A39. Ooh, sounds like a fancy place to drive. Others fear it may be upsetting grieving families. So the offending word is crispy, or the McCrispy.
The McCrispy. Yeah. I don't think we have here. I don't think we've got a McCrispy. I think what we have is the McChicken, and you can get in crispier or
yeah, grilled. You order the sub order is I'll have the crispy version of the McChicken. Right. But over there, they full on go, hey, we've got the McCrispy here in Britain.
Crispy. It sounds like isn't that what Boba Fett? Or no, it's what Greedo yells right before
he yells McCrispy.
Han Solo shoots him.
McCrispy. What does he actually say? I've forgotten now. It's going to be McCrispy.
McClunky is McClunky. What people...
McClunky.
McClunky.
I love that so much. Let's see. One woman whose mother-in-law was cremated at the establishment last year says, although I can see the funny side, it is tasteless, and I'm sure some grieving family members won't like to see it when they visit the crematorium or the funeral home there. I don't know. I mean, McDonald's can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's that big a deal. Like,
no.
You just, it's no. called a McCrispy, it's a crispy piece of chicken. The crematorium isn't crispy, people. They're burnt down to ashes. They're not crispy.
No, no.
Nobody goes to a crematorium to get crispy.
If it was a McAshy burger, yeah. Then you'd have something to complain about. Well, yeah, you have two things to complain about.
A McAshy or a McRemains. A McRemains. Or a Mick jar on a shelf. You know, you're not any of those things.
You don't buy the McRemains burger. You earn it.
Yeah, you earn it.
You earn it.
Anyway, so that's a fun thing. Finally, let me share this story with you. Enough cocaine to supply Australia for a whole year. Was found.
That's vague. That seems really vague. Supply Australia.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. I want to see the breakdown.
An Australia-sized group of Don Juniors or Charlie Sheens, or just like if everyone had one snort.
I mean, you could have stopped at those two, and that's the entire supply. That's all of it.
The entire supply.
Says enough cocaine to supply Australia for a whole year. Found floating in the Pacific. Police seized 3.5 metric tons of cocaine floating in the Pacific Ocean, worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and what officials are calling the biggest drug bust in New Zealand's history. Oh, those New Zealanders down there with their band meetings.
That's why we've really got to be careful popping those balloons.
I know, right?
The Atlantic. Yeah.
Oh, man. I saw who are the two? Jermaine and who's the other one in the Flight of the Conchords? Tito. No, Flight of the Conchords.
Jermaine and... Yeah, it's the
Brett McKenzie.
Brett and Jermaine, yeah.
I don't know why I couldn't think of that. Anyway, I forgot he was in Lord of the Rings for a very hot second.
It's like right.
Tiny part in that song yesterday. Anyway.
Jermaine Clements in the new Avatar movie.
Oh, is he now? Is he an Avatar? Is he a full-blown blue man?
You don't want me to tell you, do you?
Oh, I don't care.
Want me to tell you?
That doesn't bother me.
He's not an avatar. No, okay. he's a scientist.
Dude. That makes sense.
And in a group of people with accents, for whatever reason, they made him speak with an English or American accent.
Oh, wait, does he hide it well, or is he bad at it?
He's pretty good at it. Okay. It just seems really weird to see him, you know. And there's zero reason for it, because he's like with a group of people like, oh, yeah, we're going to shoot down those avatars. Oh, okay. Well, let me help you out with that.
Weird.
Yeah, it's like, why?
Have him be his accent. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree. All right. well, anyway, the police say this is all linked to South America. It often is, to a cartel there specifically. And it's a ton of product. And if everybody, so way down the article, it's like if everybody in the country did drugs, there'd be enough for all of them. It's basically what it says. So,
okay. All right.
There you have it. That doesn't count kangaroos or dingoes, though.
No. No.
Cocaine dingo.
They all in there. Cocaine dingoes, man. Talk about your animals that like a bump.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Every now and then. Yeah.
Did Cocaine Bear come out yet, or is that this week? It's soon.
It's soon. I don't know. I don't know when Cocaine Bear comes out.
I mean, for me and you, it'll come out on Film Sacks, probably when that's coming out.
Exactly. Yes.
It's their date. Let's just see. It is out.
Oh, it's out.
Is it out? No reviews yet.
Oh, no. I take that back. February 23rd. So this coming Thursday.
Gotcha.
I was like, I pulled it up in Google and it said, yeah, there's a 5 o'clock p.m. showing at the Harkins Theaters, Arvada. But that's Thursday, February 23rd.
No early reviews, but... I'm sure it's just, you know what drives me to want to see it is Elizabeth Banks directing it. That's why I'm interested.
Yeah.
And also,
if she wasn't related, this would absolutely just be a Sci-Fi Channel Sharknado. Not even interested.
Yeah. But produced by Phil Lord and Chris Miller. Those guys are funny. Jimmy Warden. Don't know who that is. He's only done Cocaine Bear. So I don't know. Anyway,
Ray Liotta. This will be Ray Liotta's last.
His last movie. It might be
his
amazing.
Last movie.
It might be amazing. Or is he gonna have a what's his name? Raul Julia, Street Fighter, you know, kind of last movie. Right. I don't know.
John Candy, was it Wagons East?
Wagons East, yeah, that was bad. In fact, he died on that set, didn't he? Or something?
Oh, God, really?
I thought he did. I don't know.
Ooh.
That's an old memory.
Brooklyn Prince. We've seen her in... The Florida Project. Tell me you've seen Florida Project.
I have not seen the Florida Project.
Man, that was so good.
Is that it's got the Joker in it, or not the Joker, the Green Goblin in it? Is that the one?
Yes. Uh-huh. Okay. Yep. He's the Schneider of this apartment building in Florida where these kids and their mom live. And it's a very like, oh, wow, people can live like that. Holy mackerel kind of film.
All right. I'm in. I should just finally watch it. It's one I meant to.
You should. It doesn't have subtitles. You'll get right through it. I know subtitles don't freak you out, but you've held off on Parasite and RRR
for a long time. But RRR has an English thing, right?
It does.
Yeah,
they both have English dubs available. Sure,
I might just do that with Parasite. Still want to read for 2 hours. Ugh.
Why?
I don't know.
You like comic books? You can read comic books.
That's different though. That's different though because I control the pacing in a movie. I want to watch their faces and their performance.
You want to have your phone or your iPad out while you watch a film.
No.
So you can like look stuff up. And then
I don't
want
to do it.
Oh, crap, what did I miss?
Not a good movie. Like if it's a really good, like big deal movie, I want to watch it and I want to focus on those people, not the words at the bottom of that damn screen. I don't even like movies where they try to create authenticity by putting in subtitles for the scenes where there's somebody not speaking English. I feel like I'm missing the people saying it. I just see the words.
Like when they're speaking Elvish in Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, actually. I would. That's a good example. I want to hear. I don't want to hear Arwen expressing her love for
animal crackers.
Animal crackers. Oh, Lord. Anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Stephen Schleicher will be with us.
Yeah.
We have a question for him from a listener, as well as some spoiler-free Ant-Man 3 talk, okay?
That's right.
We're promising
to talk
you
about film length and its title.
Yeah.
And that's about it. I think that's it.
Some of it's a known, like I need to know what you guys think of the MODOK.
The MODOK? Yeah. I'll be happy to talk about my feelings on their use of MODOK.
Yeah, which is in the trailer, so it's not like you guys haven't seen that. We'll keep it to that, everybody. We'll keep it to nice easy stuff that isn't spoilery. It may not matter that much anyway. I don't know. We'll find out. But we'll get around to that in a second after the song break. Brian Ibbett has a song. What are we doing?
Yeah, we got a five-piece indie outfit called The Hails, H-A-I-L-S. This is their brand new single, Breathless. And they're also announcing a run of upcoming tour dates supporting the Happy Fits. These guys are great. They are... Where are they from? I was like saying like, oh, we're going to Sydney, Australia for this band. They're touring Nashville, Atlanta, Orlando, and Tampa, so I'm going to guess they're probably from that part of the country. Let's see here. Anyway, the band is called The Hails. This is their brand new single, Breathless.
If I saw you in the morning, then I'd walk around the dark side of a friendly conversation on the moon. But I don't want you in the morning. Take a piece of what you came for and be careful on the door out on the way. Well, I would have to say it's evident that this won't ever work in time. I want. It's been shining on the altar of a sermon on the Sunday afternoon. With seven men to call, it's awful that
Just take her for instance. A customer is at the door. She wants to try on some items and then maybe she'll try on more.
Now inside this card is a very special greeting and I want you to read it to Ralph. Would you do that?
The Morning Stream. Maybe it's ransom.
And we're back. Tell me who that was again so I don't forget.
Yeah, that. Let me get the card out for what the band was that I just played. That's the band The Hales, brand new single called Breathless.
For all you kids out there, that was Liberace, okay? Just so you know.
Yes, I thought it was Paul Lynde, but hey, you know.
It's like, you know what? He sounds like a quiet, like a chilled out Paul Lynde.
He does, right? Yeah.
Because Paul Lynde's like,
after Paul Lynde had a few cocktails.
Yeah. Yeah, he's usually freaking out, but him, you know, he's like on downers or something. It's weird.
Yep.
All right. There you go. That's the thing we did there. How about we get Steven in here? How about that?
Yeah.
How about that? All right. We're pulling him in.
How about it?
Going to play his little intro here.
Steven Schleicher. Steven Schleicher.
Steven Schleicher, now hopefully fully recovered or close to it from stupid winter flu cold thing you had. Mm.
Yeah.
But never was the COVID. Yeah, it was just.
No. My wife checked me out multiple times for the COVID. It was not the COVID.
Yeah. Bad flu season, too. I've got a neighbor who's in a real pinch right now with like pneumonia business and all that just from some heinous flu that he got his flu shots, but some other strain, you know? Who knows? I don't know, but I'm glad you're okay, dude. You came up for air and you're breathing. You're good.
I'm alive.
Oh, good. That's fantastic. Good. I'm glad you stayed.
Although, after going to our local AMC theater, I wish I was dead.
Oh.
I can't wait to hear about it.
Oh, okay, good. We're going to hear about that because you don't do that very often. Before we get there, though, I want to play.
I think I have determined that June 30th will be the final time I step into an AMC theater.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Wait, what's June 30th? What is that?
The Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Indiana Jones. Okay. What if that's so bad? I mean, I don't think it will be because James Mangold's awesome and I love him and I think he makes good
movies.
It
still won't be the worst Indiana Jones movie.
No, it won't be. It can't be,
No matter, how bad it is.
It'll never be Crystal Skull. It can't be that bad.
It can't be that bad, yeah.
All right. We're safe. The next time I'm probably going to a movie theater will be the Dune. It'll be this fall for Dune Part 2. Mm-hmm. I almost said Dune 2, which is a video game. But anyway, let's dive in here. Now, before you do anything else, I got to play this, all right? So hold on.
Okay.
Shitoutofluck.com.
All right, that's Christine, and she sent this in. Christine Fletcher, wife of venerable voiceover artist Scott Fletcher. She says, hey, friends, what's the backstory on Steven's sign-off? Stay hydrated. I feel like I should know, but I don't, says Christine.
Well, it's interesting we're talking about Marvel movies because it originally started out as Hail Hydra and then evolved into Stay Hydrated.
Oh, I didn't know that. See, I couldn't have told her. You have a memory of stone. I have one of
Hail Hydration.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right, so there it is, Christine. Does that satisfy you? And if not, go to
shitoutofluck.com
and you'll get all the details you need. We love Christine. We hope she's doing good. Can't wait to see her in Vegas. All right, let's get to the Ant-Man discussion. We'll be a spoiler.
Wow, what a perfectly fine movie.
Yeah, is that your overall?
Perfectly fine. Yeah, that's probably a good. You know,
I would say it's a very good placeholder between seasons 1 and 2 of Loki.
That's interesting.
Agreed.
I haven't heard that kind of summation since Star Trek. What was the one that was just like an episode? It was the movie though, and it was
Rogue One.
With face. Star Trek. Then
Star Trek.
Star Trek.
Not Nemesis, but the one before that. Star Trek
Insurrection.
Insurrection. I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, and it had F. Murray Abraham in it. I think that's the one.
Right.
But that one is what I always think of when people say this, when they say, oh, it's fine. It's like a middle episode of some show I'm watching. And that's what they always used to refer to that as, is like, yeah, that was a pretty good episode of TNG on TV because it didn't feel like a movie. But in this case, I mean, do you guys feel like some people have said to me, oh, don't worry, wait till Disney Plus. This is just weird filler to try to connect a few dots that it's not a great story on its own. Really? Disagree?
I think I enjoyed it a little bit more than Steven.
Yeah, it's obviously because it's got MODOK in it.
Well, yeah, but the MODOK wasn't even the reason that I liked it. I mean, I feel like it was saying that it takes a dark turn. Well, again, won't surprise anyone. The first two Ant-Man films are very comedic. And mm-hmm. this one has to take a dark turn because it is introducing the next boss fight, the next Avengers boss level. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it was a good pacing the whole way through. I wasn't finding myself questioning like, well, why would the characters choose to do that and not this other thing?
Right. Yeah. I would say there is one pacing issue in the third act that has to do with Hank Pym showing up at one point. I was like, well, that really felt like it should have been sooner instead of there. But that's, you know, people will see that and see what goes on. This is all a plot story. There's no B or C subplot. It is straight. Mm-hmm. Here's what the problem is. And everybody's on board to take care of the problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And do you think that works? Is it a fun romp?
You can just go and enjoy the visuals and the story and the action for 2 hours without going, okay, now what was going on here? Now what was happening here? You don't have to worry too much about that. Although, to be fair, Marvel movies don't have a whole lot of that going on.
Mm-hmm. No.
A lot of people felt like some of the reviews I've read, okay, so keep in mind, this is just some reviews, mm-hmm. have said that the special effects threw them because everybody felt like they were floating heads in a video game. Like
that's MODOK. Just MODOK. Floating head.
Yeah.
No, that's not what I mean though. Like in the case of like, I mean like Paul Rudd, Evangeline Lilly, when they have their helmets off, they looked like their faces just green screened into a video game.
Really? No, I did not get that at all.
Okay. That's good.
The big thing that I got out of this was, wow, Disney sure does love using the volume now that they've shown that it works.
Yeah, they do like that.
and there's also many scenes where you're like, yeah, this was definitely shot during COVID because you can tell everyone's keeping their distance.
Mm. Oh, really? I didn't. Now that you say that, I can think of some scenes where it's like, all right, why aren't these people? And we've got some characters that are just completely CGI. So let's just fill up the space in between them with that. Interesting.
Yeah. Is Bill Murray interesting or good? Or what's his deal? It's a small role.
He does.
He's good. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
And it's a small role. I mean, for people that are like, Bill Murray's in this? I mean, that was like,
again, he's in the trailer, so that's also not a spoiler.
Yeah. But, his scene is maybe 10 minutes tops.
Yeah. Oh, okay. But he's very Bill Murray throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very much like Jeff Goldblum is very much Jeff Goldblum in Ragnarok.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Very good comparison.
Okay.
I'd say that we're finally getting stingers that move the story forward instead of just like, hey, here's a couple E-list characters that we haven't shown in a Marvel movie yet. So guess what? Mm-hmm. Here they are. Da, da, da.
Yeah.
But I will say I enjoyed this more than Thor: Love and Thunder, which I thought was good.
I actually enjoyed this more than Doctor Strange: Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, I'd say I kind of would agree with you on that too.
And I will say, let me ask you this, Brian.
That's good.
Could you tell which part was supposed to be Stan Lee's part?
Yeah. Yes. Golly. Again, it's something you see in the trailer, but yes, pretty obvious. Like, oh, that was going to be Stan Lee probably right there. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, weird.
All right. So let's talk MODOK.
Yeah, get that out of the way, please.
Corey Stoll as an actor, he's a fine actor, but I hate every time he is on anything that he's in because he's just a slimy, awful character in every role he plays, and I just hate him. I hate him.
So why is
he's doing?
But he makes a very good part
to play that. To play that kind of.
So Corey Stoll, known for the first Ant-Man, he's the Darren Cross character.
He's Yellow Jacket.
Exactly. So that's some real retconning of where MODOK's from, right?
Like, this is not because they're not going to say, all right, we've got AIM laboratories working on increasing somebody's intelligence and that makes their head super huge.
Yeah.
It makes them super smart and drives them crazy. This is the way we're going to get MODOK into the MCU. And
wait a minute, Brian.
What?
This is the fourth time we've had a MODOK in the MCU.
In the MCU?
Fourth. Wait, okay, hold on a second, because you're not counting the Patton Oswalt.
Nope, not that. This is the Marvel Cinematic Universe media franchise.
Yeah.
This is the fourth time we've had a MODOK.
Really?
What are the other three? Yeah, what are the other three?
The first one was Aldrich Killian in the Iron Man 3, The Official Game.
Okay, that was, that was MCU? Okay.
Yep, okay. Then there's the Superior, who was the life model decoy designed only for killing the L-MODOKs in the fourth and fifth seasons of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Definitely okay. MCU.
And then in the pilot for New Warriors, Keith David did the voice for
what?
MODOK.
I love Keith David so much. I want to see that now.
I have not even heard of the pilot for New Warriors.
Okay. So does that just mean we got a multitude of MODOKs? It's MODOK multiverse? Like,
I think it is whatever you want it to be. I was going to find a bunch of trivia for
that's hilarious.
For
okay,
would, today, and I saw that this blew, was the fourth one in the MCU.
That blew my enlarged by AIM mind. So yeah. Well done.
Yeah, that's
I really
cool.
wished we would have gotten. I mean, I can't wait for AIM to show up as as like the real AIM,
as more than just Guy Pearce's deal from, like you said, Iron Man 3.
Yeah. I really want to see some guys in B suits running around, just being dumb.
Oh yes. Man, that is. I do want to see that. That's the future. I mean, that's the future of what we do with Iron Man, right? I mean, whatever we're going to do with the Iron Man and the suits and who owns them now and who's who and Ironheart and all that.
The future of Iron Man is purely going to be Ironheart. Yeah,
right.
I don't think we're going to get the Stark versus AIM thing going forward. I don't know how they bring without Stark.
Well, let's Scott, did you finally watch Loki season one?
I did.
Yeah, we watched it for a couch party.
Yeah,
I wanted to watch. And what was did you watch Multiverse of Madness?
I did. I liked it a lot, except, well, I liked it when it was the most Sam Raimi. Yeah, the Sam Raimi bits with like the crazy zooms and the horror moments. I loved that stuff. I thought the rest was a little light and not great.
So, you know, it's been how many years since the first Iron Man movie? And man, we sure need a reboot of the Iron Man movie.
2008. So that would be...
It's been over 10 years. Yeah, it's almost 20 years. And this franchise is very much indeed of a reboot. And if you've seen Loki season one and Multiverse of Madness, man, you can certainly reboot the entire Avengers line.
See, that's where I would not be surprised. I think at some point you can't just keep going down the same timeline road. You're going to have to. People want a new they want new stories around Captain America. They want new stories around Iron Man. And I think either you do that with television or you reboot them or you do something. I don't know if they have that kind of game plan in mind. Maybe they do with this, like with Multiverse
of
Madness.
I don't know. I'm not giving any spoilers for Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania at all.
And I think that's a way, you know, that their introduction of the multiverse was for that reason, so that they can say, all right, we can have another Iron Man, we can have another Captain America, you know, basically any actor that wants to leave and go do something else, guess what? We can bring them in, bring that character in as the multiverse version of that hero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And part of me kind of wants to see what that looks like, even though I know it feels risky. Right. Mm-hmm. Like a new Iron Man's like, oh, this isn't RJR or whatever his name is. This isn't who we're used to. Oh, no, that's not Pepper Potts that I'm, you know, like that can throw people.
But we've already seen it happen and people are super accepting of it because we've had two Professor X's in the X-Men franchise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two different actors playing that. And people are just like perfectly fine with that.
Yeah. But you did a time shift, though. Right. Like you went. Yeah. You went, hey, this is before, and also there's a crossover in the one. They had them both in one of them. I think you can be forgiving of that. I guess if you do that sort of stuff, then yeah, people will forgive it. Like you make some kind of through lines and not just say, oh, we're starting over.
You could bring in a young Tony Stark. I mean, you've kind of already seen a young Steve Rogers, so that might be a little difficult to do to say, well, this is what Steve Rogers looks like in Universe 616, but over in this other universe, here's what young Steve Rogers looks like.
Yeah.
But,
who'd be a good young Tony Stark? Sorry. The guy who played Goose's son in the Maverick thing. What's his name?
Oh, yeah. Miles Teller.
Miles Teller be a good. He rocks that mustache, is what I'm getting at. You know
he
saying?
Does rock the mustache, and I guess you just have him, you know, wearing all of Tony Stark's clothes, so that in the movie you know that he's young Tony Stark.
Right. That's all you have to do,
and he'll play piano and sing just like Tony Stark, because you know that's how you know.
That's you that know that young. Kid. Yeah, that's the only way you know with his roles. He has to make sure you know it's him.
Exactly.
Real quick though, like, couldn't he? Okay, here's a fun idea. What if? Like James Earl Jones did, he's sold off the rights to his voice and the Darth Vader voice to somebody else so they can use it later. And by use it, I mean reproduce it, deep fake it, you know, audio fake it, whatever. We are not that far from a future where you couldn't have an actor look just like Robert Downey Jr. playing Iron Man again in a younger age or a different universe or whatever. We're not that far from that. So what if Kevin Feige's just sitting on his hands going, one day we're deep faking the whole thing. Where's my hat? I got to wear my hat for this interview. Where's my hat? Right?
You could already do that and just keep Iron Man's helmet closed the entire time and never do that internal face cam like they use. And just
They did that quite effectively in the first Spider-Man Homecoming movie where the suit comes out and rescues him and you think it's Tony Stark in there giving him a lecture. And then suddenly the suit opens up and you realize Tony is in India at a wedding.
Oh, right. Yes, he was remote. Right. Yeah, he did
there
a remote
job. That's an easy way to do all that. Perfect.
Yeah, I don't know.
What you have just said, Scott, I've mentioned this movie before and I think people should go and check it out. Okay. There's a movie called The Congress, which I think came out in 2014. It stars Robin Wright as Robin Wright, who sold all of her likeness rights to the studios following the success of The Princess Bride, and she never ages in the movies because it's her virtual double. And now her son, I think in the movie, her son needs some medical stuff, and so she has to go back and try to renegotiate her likeness rights to get more movies money out of the studios because she sold that off before. So that's the first thing.
Sounds totally cool. It's animated. No, it's not. No, the poster is animated, but yeah, the
poster, she looks like Pinhead without the pins.
Yeah. Like she's got and then of course, the news of Bruce Willis finally retiring because of his mental deterioration. He has sold his likeness to a deepfake firm.
Yeah, it's a thing now.
I don't remember if that is just for a commercial work or if it is for ongoing like acting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Die Hard 6.
Yeah, no, whatever. Faker or something.
I know. Yeah, trying to be very.
This movie looks good. Robin Wright, the Harvey Keitel, John Hamm, Paul Giamatti.
It's a movie that just went totally under the radar because everybody was like, "Ah, this will never happen," and it's a small indie movie. And now it's like more relevant than ever, and it's like 10-year-old movie.
Streaming on Peacock, so people can watch it right away.
Yeah, Hulu as well.
Poker Face.
Is it on Hulu? Yeah, it's on Hulu as well.
Hulu. Oh, is it on Hulu?
Yeah, okay. It's a Hulu.
Oh, there it is right there. Why doesn't put Hulu up in my Just Watch? Come on, what's going on?
Yeah, what are you doing, Just
my
Watch?
My Watch Now section.
Yeah, poo on you. I got Rotten Tomatoes has a link to it. They say it's on there, but I don't know.
We got to talk about the elephant in the room, and that is the acting powerhouse that is Jonathan Majors, who is the best part of Quantumania.
Doesn't surprise me to hear that. I love him.
Yeah.
Will we be spoiling anything?
No.
By saying that he's in it? No, I don't.
That he's in it? No, he is great. And again, for anybody that has seen Loki season one, Jonathan Majors plays Kang the Conqueror in Loki season one, and he is fantastic.
No, he plays the one who remains.
Oh, I'm sorry.
In Loki
season
one. The one who
How many
remains.
Kangs are there? I would point to everybody's. This is one of my favorite film groups, Ookla the Mock. They have a fantastic song called Kang the Conqueror. And Brian, if you have not listened to it, you need to listen to it because it's funny.
No, I haven't. I love Ookla the Mock.
And everybody needs to listen to the Kang the Conqueror song to understand one of the mid-credit sequences.
The stingers? Yeah. Okay.
All right. I've checked that out as well.
Well, I mean, I haven't heard the song, but I understand the mid-credit sequence.
I mean, I'm sure you do, Mr. There's four Morocks in the MCU.
Good. Okay. Good point. You win. Yes. Good point.
So with his, he's got that Creed 3 coming up. I wish they were doing this summer. Yeah. There's something else going on. I'd watch that dude do anything. Open a pack of gum. I'll pay a buck to watch that.
Lovecraft Country is a great watch anyway, but he was fantastic.
Yeah. He's so good. Yeah. That. I wish that was getting a new season. That'd be nice.
Dude is freaking jacked for Creed 3. Holy crap. You see the trailer for that?
He is a beast. Absolute beast. I don't know what his workout looks like, but it ain't what mine looks like. Amazing. Huge man.
If someone came to you, Scott, real quick, mm-hmm. and said, we want to hire a Marvel trainer for you so you can get jacked like these Marvel stars. We will pay for all of it. Would you do it, or would you like be like, no, thank you?
Oh, I'd do it. Yes, I do it. Yeah, hell yeah. If they're gonna if they're gonna pay for it and it's the real deal, hell, they got like the dietitians, everybody involved.
Yeah,
Do we get to
pick which one we get to be jacked like? Can I have Michael B. Jordan's trainer?
Yeah, or you know what? Even better, like somebody who's older than us but still jacked, like Hugh Jackman. Funny enough, it's a name. Mm-hmm. You get me Jackman's trainer and say it's all on us. Hell yeah, mm-hmm. I'll do mm-hmm. it. Let's go.
Even if it was the most miserable experience of your life.
100%, because you're only talking like a couple of months of hardcore.
3 months, stuff. 6 months of hardcore. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I would do it. And then the hard bit, see, this is the hard bit, knowing how hard it would be to maintain after, because I know I could go from freaking Batman to Cheney.
You go from Thor to Endgame Thor.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Or, or Gladiator to Zeus and Thor for Russell Crowe. Like, I know that stuff's really hard to maintain, especially as you get older. So I would struggle with that part of it, knowing that. And they're not going to always be there for me. But I would love the kickstart, you know? Just get it going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paul Rudd, I think I would want to have Paul Rudd's trainer just to get down. I mean, I don't need to have jacked muscles or anything like that. Yeah. But he actually did a recent interview for, I can't remember if it's Men's Health or GQ on their YouTube channel, where he talks about his weight training and his regimen. It is not as bad as like Chris, what's his name?
Hemsworth,
Star-Lord, the stuff that he has to go through, or the other Chris, or that other Chris.
The three Chris's,
Yeah, the three Chris's, and the training that they have to go through is radically different. So I think I would rather have Paul Rudd's trainer.
I think so, too. He also, he colors his hair, but he does it so well that you can't tell. He's just, mm-hmm. Paul Rudd's an embarrassment to all other men. We're all embarrassed. He's funny. Yeah. He's handsome. He's good looking. He doesn't age. And he can make himself tiny. Mm-hmm. All right, then. Well, there's your Ant-Man 3. We didn't give any spoilers. This is amazing.
No. Mm-mm. Didn't even mention Chidi from The Good Places in this.
No.
That's all I'm going to say about him.
Yeah.
He's fantastic as well.
I will say, don't look at the IMDb page for this movie, because either there's a cut scene or I missed something, because they list a prominent actor in the movie and it's like, I didn't see that person once in this movie. So,
Are you talking about someone who was in the first two?
It is a character actor who has appeared in multiple Marvel stuff, because he is basically the replacement for Agent Coulson.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay.
And he's listed in this movie as like one of the top five actors, and it's like, he's not in this movie
at all. Well, the one that surprised me, again, not a spoiler, is David Dastmalchian.
Oh yes.
Uh-huh.
Who's listed in the credits. And I was like, oh, great. We're going to see that character who works for Scott Lang at the security thing. Never, you know, not a spoiler to say you don't see him, but you
not even
do.
A flashback or like anything.
He's in there.
Is he?
He's the character is not.
Oh,
no. His character is not the actor.
Yes.
But the actor is in there. There. Yeah, okay. Yes. Oh, yes. Interesting. Okay. Right. Yes. I like that guy.
There you go.
Yep. Unfortunately, he will not be in Dune Part 2 for reasons.
Because,
he was killed.
Oh, anyway. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's a very good reason.
Yeah. Very good reason not to be in there. Anyway, that's it. Hey, Steven, speaking of things that are spoilery, your entire site is called MajorSpoilers.com.
Yeah.
Even though you don't really spoil that much, but you review stuff all the time and make recommendations. You have a whole podcast network and all kinds of fun stuff. What would you like to tell people about this week?
I know people have been listening to our Critical Hit show for over 15 years now, and it's great. And I'm sure people have been sitting there going, Stephen, when are you going to sit down and GM an entire campaign? Well, you only have to wait till this weekend, because this weekend I kick off GMing a campaign for our critical hit game. It's Octoon Cthulhu. We are punching Nazis in the face and fighting Cthulian horrors, all against the backdrop of World War II. Check it out. It's a critical hit over at majorspoilers.com.
And for the record, his Cthulian horrors, not whores. Okay.
They might be those too. You never know.
Well, you do never know. Eldritch horror. don't, she's very expensive. Anyway, hey, Steven, it's been a real treat, and I hope you have a great week. And is there any advice you would give us if we're just trying to, you know, be healthy and get along and all that?
Stay hydrated.
Bye now. Christine, you never have to ask again.
Yep.
I forgot
about the origin of that, so I'm glad she asked.
No, I completely had no idea. Yeah. I was afraid it was something that you and I did specifically, and we were going to feel dumb for not remembering, but I don't remember. I don't remember a thing about it. All right, couple things. Diablo show today. Big stuff over the last few days. That game has now got an open beta date, as well as an early access to the beta date. They also showed the entirety of the when you create a new character and the game begins. So like in graphic sort of transition to you walking around doing your first movements in that game. They showed that entire sequence, which is super interesting. Some people are dumb and thought it was a cinematic, and they're all disappointed. I'm like, you guys don't read. Anyway, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that a little bit. And there was one other big thing with it, and I can't remember. But it's all coming up on the Diablo show later today. Also, Carter and I recorded or streamed part 4 of our Dead Space remake play. We're getting pretty far into the game. Probably a few more sessions left is all. And it's up on YouTube now. So if you go to youtube.com/ScottJohnson, you can see part 4 and part 3 through 1 or 1 through 3 if you like, of Carter and I having a great time playing that game. And we'll have more of that coming this week. Also, a reminder, I mentioned it earlier, I'll say it again, our Discord is rad and you should all be in there, frogpants.com/discord. Lots of friends, lots of people. Let's say you're coming to Vegas for the first time and you're coming alone. There's an entire chat in there, a whole channel in there dedicated to people who are coming on their own, solo travelers. To hook up with people, know who's who. And I mean hook up in the nice way. I don't mean you're all going to, you know what
well,
I mean?
Well, there might be some of that too. You never know. It's Vegas.
It's totally fine. You're all consenting adults. You do you. But anyway, that is all available to you and much more. So go check it out. That's frogpants.com/discord. And I want to thank our patrons today. Patreon.com/TMS. I have a big list of patrons. So big, I had an AI read it. Brian, here it is. You ready?
Yeah, let's hear it.
This is everybody.
Andrew Diamond, Eric Barrett Wade, Menard Rasmus Lundqvist Hand Grenade, Dayron John Kosanke, Fagan Daniel Stark, Ryan Wildrick Wyrm, Aaron Frost, Galantino Brown, Lauren Milligan, Wayne Dixon, Simon Fletcher, James Hoover, Andrew Heim, Sebastian Gonzalez, Scott Thomas, Ruben Paddock, Alan Lennox, Ben Schalk, Peter.
Look at all those people.
I like how it's like, it almost sounds like one person with like a Madonna, Ciccone, Jessica, Talbert, McFinley.
Yeah. You know, the problem is it has one, it has a bunch of the names are both names, you know, first and last. And then one will be just a name like Jerry. And this thing doesn't know how to separate that. It just like just rolls right into Jerry and as if it was part of their middle name. But anyway, those are all people I just have failed to mention in the last few weeks and really appreciate you guys being new patrons fantastic. On the channel. So thank you so much. Patreon.com/TMS is the place to go where you will never get ads. You'll get pre-show content every day. You'll get couch parties on the weekend, art in the mail, play dates, so much more. Read about it today at patreon.com/TMS. Brian, I'm pretty sure we're done. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Oh, no, I don't.
I don't either. I think then we're required to play a song.
Okay. Matthew, L.C. Knight and the Tadpool wrote in. It's a long letter. Tuck in. Dear Boot, Scootin' and Boogie, or just Scootin' and Boogie, but he has Boot in parentheses to make the S&B thing. My name is Matthew, and when I can be in the chat room, I'm there as LC Knight. On Twitter, I'm known as Nightmare. I've been a longtime member of the Tadpool and Beyond. I was an avid listener to ELR and have been listening to Coverville through all of its iterations. I'm writing today because I have to be grateful to you and want to share it with you. Two summers ago on Memorial Day, I had to have two heart stents added due to my high blood pressure. On January 4th of last year, I went blind in my right eye. Scott and I have talked via email a few times since that. TMS and all the other Frogpen Studios stuff has gotten me through many an hour in my multiple stays in the hospital. Over the last few months, I spent 3 weeks in the ER and in the hospital again due to high blood pressure and heart stents. I've also lost sight in my left eye for a while and had to prepare to possibly be blind just as I reached the age of 50. Now it seems I'm beginning to see out of that eye and may even stream again soon. I've started to pick up 3D printing as well. I have not taken care of myself much, and that caused most of my issues. The request that I'm requesting here is not for me, but for the woman that I have found, or she found me, who has become my eternal companion, wife, wow tank, and advocate. She was the one who wouldn't let the doctors release me from the hospital until they found a reason for my pain, and hence, quite literally saved my life. My wife, Deirdre, has her birthday on February 20th, and while she doesn't listen all the time like I do, she will certainly hear this episode. I can't wait to introduce you to her at TMS Vegas. Brian, could you please find something like You're My Best Friend, Close to You, Sunshine My Life, or even Back to Pooh Corner? That would mean a lot to me. If not, I trust you can find a good 70s cover all about the love I feel. Love the Gloto. I'm missing one of those too. Signed, LC Knight, a.k.a. Matthew.
Nice. Glad he's doing good.
No kidding.
Yeah, that's a lot, man. Jeez.
And thank goodness for Deirdre helping you out and being the rock that we all need in our lives. All right, let's get to this. This is a brand new cover that your request helped me find. As a matter of fact, not just a new cover, but a new band, a supergroup, an Australian supergroup made up of folks from The Boy and Bear, All Our Exes Live in Texas, Hot Spoke, and The Whitlams. I'm talking about a band called A-Sides Club. And these guys have a bunch of different albums all centered around certain artists. So they cover a bunch of songs by one artist and put them all together in an album. And now I've discovered all of these new albums that I've got to listen to. And it's made me super, super happy. On their Queen album, they cover You're My Best Friend. This came out 2018. Here is You're My Best Friend by A-Sides Club.
Thank you all for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. We'll see you then.
Whatever this was. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
How are you?
Been better. How about you?
I've been better.